let's stand and sing it. Oh, you are worthy. Yes, you. Of our praise. God bless you. It's good to be back in church. This is 137 in your hymn book. You thankful there's power in the blood this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Oh, would you be free from your power in the blood of the Lamb. stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, there's wonder-working power. Why don't you grab somebody by the hand this morning and greet them?
The Lord this morning. Amen. Aren't you thankful that there's still power in the blood? Amen. It hasn't lost one bit of its strength. He's still the same today as he was yesterday and will be forever. So we certainly praise the Lord for that. And got a few announcements and things that we want to make and prayer requests. And want to just kind of remind you, we've mentioned it a couple times before, and just so that you don't think that the deacons are trying to be rude, after service, if there's people that remain in the auditorium to pray, they're going to urge you to go on out of the entryway there and outside. I know sometimes, depending on the weather, that's maybe harder than normal, but we feel like what's going on in here, if somebody's praying and getting closer to the Lord, that's more important than talking about Arby's or work or whatever out there. So as long as no one's remaining and praying, you're welcome to stay in the entryway and fellowship. But if somebody is in here, they're going to ask you to go on out, and please respect that. And because we want what the Lord wants for moving in people's lives. And also a little bit later this morning, we'll be having our annual elections. So just want to keep that in prayer for the Lord's perfect will. And Brother Joseph Sargent had went for a follow-up on his finger that had nerve damage, and we'd been praying for where the doctors had thought it might have to be amputated. And he said the appointment went fantastic, and the doctor said the finger is looking great. So he said prayer changes things, and I agree. Amen. So we're certainly glad to hear that. And we've got many that are out due to sickness, and just want to lift them up in prayer. Brother Joshua, not feeling well. And Sister Heidi Byerly requested prayer for their granddaughter, Dahlia, who's sick this morning. And also, I was going to tease the church and say I spent 3 nights in the hospital this week and nobody came and visited me, but it wasn't for myself. My dad was in the hospital. He went in on a Wednesday and wound up having to have a procedure done on Friday to remove some blood clots. And he's supposed to be released from the hospital tomorrow. So please remember him in prayer for just a complete recovery. And but he's doing well today. And actually, if his main doctor would have been in there today, they said they would have released him. But they're wanting his doctor to release him when he's back tomorrow. And Brother James Phillips may need an operation due to severe back pain, so we want to remember him in prayer this morning. And also, Brother Daniel Cooley requested prayer for a good friend that is having a very serious back surgery tomorrow. His name is Ernie Gum, so we want to remember him in prayer. And Brother Furman requested prayer for Richard Mullineaux, that's Sister Ashley Sussman's dad. After having stroke-like symptoms, they did a CT scan and discovered he has lesions on his brain and on multiple organs and a tumor in his lung. So the doctors believe it's cancer, and they just are requesting prayer. So we certainly want to remember that situation. And also, Brother Barry Weber's brother-in-law, Eddie Hounshell, had a heart attack and is having a stent put in now, so we'll lift him up in prayer. Sister Anna May put in a prayer request for her cousin, Teresa, who's in the hospital again. They've put a pain patch on her to control the pain from cancer and want to do surgery to put in a valve on her side to drain the fluid off of her stomach because there's a blockage and her stomach no longer drains on its own. So they're concerned about it, but that because she's so full of cancer and her body is weak, but Teresa is still really in good spirits, Sister Anna May said, and is claiming her healing. So we want to believe with her for that, for her complete healing. We know the Lord's more than able. And Brother Don Marsh, he's in the hospital with terminal cancer. I want to remember him in prayer this morning. And also, Brother Arnie had put in this prayer request, said, please remember Brother Russell Jones and his family. He's suffering from congestive heart failure. And unless the Lord chooses otherwise, he'll be passing from death unto life real soon, is the way that he put it. So I like that. But he said, Father knows best. And so we certainly agree, but we'll be in prayer for our brother Russell, that the Lord just touches his body and heal him this morning. And also, Sister Carol McKimmy from Beckley, West Virginia, passed away on Friday, and she's related to the Lillies and the Vests and the Lehmans from there, and just ask that you remember their families in prayer, and especially her husband, Brother Irville. And how many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with uplifted hand? Amen. Know the Lord sees each one. Good to see Brother Wade back this morning and out of the hospital and back home from Colorado for a little bit from the work they were doing there. Brother Wade, would you come this morning and just lead us in a word of prayer?
I thank you all for your prayers. It was a bumpy ride for me, so just glad the Lord saw me through it. Thank you all again, because that's what made it possible. So let's bow our heads. Father, we have so much to be thankful for. We serve a living Savior, one who loves us, Lord, unconditionally. For that, we're so grateful. You provide all of our needs. Lord, we don't have to worry over anything, Lord, because you're in complete control. We love you. Father, just a lengthy list of prayer requests from your children, Lord. I think of Brother Jerry, Lord, just so faithful there and just anchoring that corner of the church, Lord. And I just ask that you completely deliver him, Lord. Father, others had heart failure, Lord, and cancer and lesions, and oh my, these are problems that are too big for us, but they're not too big for you. We give them to you. We give them to you in faith, Lord, knowing that you'll do what's best. You'll undertake, Lord. Please send your healing touch on each and every one. Be with us the remainder of this service, Lord. Open our hearts to your word. Let us just draw closer to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning again, church. This morning we're going to be reading the 59th, that's 5-9, 59th chapter of the book of Psalm. Good to see you all out on such a beautiful morning. I guess missing Wednesday night with all the ice and snow and rain and cold made you hungry for service. It did me. So I hope it did you to come worship the Lord and hear what He has for us and check our lives up and make sure we're lined up with that word, because the way this world is going with the... Sometimes you think you can't go any more into evil, but it seems like it makes another step. But we know the Lord is getting ready to come any moment.
Amen.
And I just want to be ready. And by His grace, I am. All right, the 59th chapter of the book of Psalm. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me.
Deliver me from the workers of iniquity, and save me from bloody men.
For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me, not for my transgression, nor for my sin, O Lord.
They run in transgressions without my fault. Awake to help me, and behold.
Therefore, or thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors. Selah.
They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog. They go round about the city.
Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear?
But thou, O Lord, shall laugh at them.
Because of His strength will I wait upon Thee, for God is my defense.
The God of my mercy shall protect me. God shall let me see my desire upon my enemies.
Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by Thy power and bring them down, O Lord, our shield.
For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them be taken in their pride, and for cursing and lying which they speak.
Consume them in wrath, consume them that they may not be, and let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. Selah.
And at evening let them return, and let them make a noise like a dog, and go round about the city.
Let them wander up and down for meat, and grudge if they be not satisfied. Unto Thee, O my strength, will I sing, for God is my defense and the God of my mercy. God bless you, saints. Please be seated.
God bless you. If the brothers could please come at this time. This is 40 in your hymnbook. I was thinking about this song yesterday, and I don't know how many of y'all remember Brother and Sister Nash from the Tabernacle, and just thinking of Sister Buckles and how great it'll be when we can get over there and fellowship with these brothers and sisters. I know we all have loved ones, grandparents and things, and I'm looking forward to it.
When with the Savior we enter the glory land, won't it be wonderful there? And ended the carols and cares of the story, won't it be wonderful there? Oh, joyously singing.
bless you. At this time, we have a special from Sister Olivia and Emma Harambasic. So much. God bless you. At this time, we have a special from the Eamon family.
My wife just had it on her heart to sing this song. This was written by her brother, Isaac. And just a song to remind us about who it is that's really important in our lives. And so we just had this on our heart to sing, and just a reminder to us. Amen.
The house was set in order. Invitations had been sent. The guests were dressed and ready. Alone in the corner he sat. The stench of sweat was on him, and dust upon his feet. No oil for the lonely, not even a kiss for his cheek. And as the night wore on, the greatest of men was ignored. No one thought a thing about the dirty feet of the Lord. How would you treat the King of Kings? Would you even think to wash his dirty feet? Would he say,
me to your full eyes and wait there as you push him to the side. There's a test you're giving to me, and it starts at early morn. Do you spend the time greatest of men be ignored? Do you ever think a thing about the dirty feet of your Lord? How would you treat Jesus Christ? We should be the ones to wash him as we cry. Don't forget King of Kings, let us not let Jesus sit with dirty feet. How do we treat Jesus Christ? We should be the ones to wash him as we cry. Don't forget King of Kings, let us not let Jesus sit with dirty feet. Let us not let Jesus sit with dirty
Amen. Sure appreciate that. God bless you. Enjoyed our specials this morning. Been requested that we try this song again. We tried it last Sunday night, and hope it's a blessing to you. Amen. I know I sat in a message pew for years, and I just didn't completely die out. There's plenty of Furman to die out this morning. Plenty. There's always more that I could do for him, but it's truly a freeing experience to stand here and not have any fear. So you help me sing this morning.
Oh, you unravel me, Lord, with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies. Till
like that once more. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. You drowned my fears in perfect love. You rescued me and I will stand and sing. I am a child.
Field this morning. Help me sing it. Oh, I was alone and idle. I was a sinner too. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying there is work to do. Well, I took my master's hand and I joined a Christian band. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Come to God. trumpet will be sounding for the coming of the sun. Then I'll lay my armor down, I'll pick up my Roman crown. Then I'll walk those streets of gold with my Lord. Oh, I am on the battlefield for my Lord. Yes, I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I promised him that I'd serve him till I die. Now I'm on the battlefield for my Lord. Well, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in this army. Oh, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Oh, and if I die, let me die in the army of the Lord. If I die, Lord, let me die in this army. Oh, if I die, let me die in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Oh, I like this part. Ain't gonna be no turning back in this army of the Lord. Ain't gonna be no turning back in God's army. Ain't gonna be no turning back in this army of the Lord. Oh, I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Let's sing it together. Soldier this morning.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you richly. Turn with me, if you would, this morning into the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 11, and want to begin at verse 16. We still want to look at this thought of a scriptural voice. And as you remember last week, we were talking about how that a scriptural voice will not have selfish motives.
Amen.
It won't have a selfish motive. It'll be what is best for the people, and what is God's perfect will. And so a scriptural voice always take us back to something like that and not be a selfish motive. Brother Branham said you can have the perfect will of God, as we looked at the quote last week, be in the perfect will of God, but if you've got a selfish motive in doing it, then it takes you out of the perfect will of God. Maybe God called you to do something, or maybe God is telling you you need to go do this, or you need to help a person, or you need to go try to correct somebody over here, or whatever it would be. But if you go and do that, even if it's in the channel of the perfect will of God, but yet you have a selfish motive in doing it, oh, I'm going to prove somebody wrong, or I'm going to prove them that I'm right, or I'm going to be somebody if I do this, or I'm going to be popular, or I'm going to, whatever it is. If it's a selfish motive, then even though it's in the channel of the will of God, your selfish motive takes you right back out of the will of God. So, how careful we should be, not only to find the will of God, but to make sure in doing that, that we don't have a selfish motive with it. So, Numbers chapter 11, verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee, and I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Let's just bow our heads together this morning, if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we approach your throne again this morning, Lord, we're a needy people, and there are many needs represented here this morning. Lord, how my heart goes out to the different ones, the needs that I know of. And yet, Lord, knowing some people, different things, because we're private people, sometimes it's hard for us to really know all the needs and all the things going on in people's lives. But yet you know all about them, Lord. Yes. You know about the needs, and you know about the desires of the people's heart. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us, Lord. Not only, Lord, my desire is that you would help me this morning to get into a channel where you could use me. But Lord, not only me, but may you allow the people to get into a channel this morning as well, to where you could help them and strengthen them. And whatever their need is, that you could minister to that need this morning through the preaching of the word, or through the quotes and the scriptures or the songs that we'll be saying, Lord. May you minister to those needs and encourage hearts. I pray, Lord, we come together this morning not only to work, not only to sing, Lord, not only to hear a sermon, not only to be encouraged, Lord, but primarily we come to worship you, Lord. And Lord, may our worship be pure and may it be true, Lord. May we not pay attention to what our neighbor thinks, but may we just worship you in whatever form it would be. If it would be to raise our hands, or if it would be to sing or shout, or whether it would be to amen, or whatever it would be, Lord, let us do our part this morning, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you richly, and you can be seated this morning. As I mentioned, spending three nights there in the hospital with Dad this week, Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday night, I'm running on not a whole lot of sleep. But as I told Brother Trevor, the less of me that there is, the more of Jesus can come in. So you just pray for me this morning. We want the will of the Lord in the service. And as we read this scripture this morning, Moses here, if you go back and read Numbers 11 when you get home in its entirety, Moses, with the burdens and the pressure and the pull of the people on him, and you can imagine some of the brothers that have come here and are sojourning with us as minister brothers, Brother Arnie and Brother Layton and Brother Hoover, different ones, in their younger years or days gone by, and some of them a long way back and some of them not too long ago, they were pastors as well, so they know what it feels like. Doesn't matter whether you've got four or whether you've got 400 or 4,000 or whatever it would be, the pull of the people and the burdens of the people and the needs of the people and the spiritual needs especially weighs heavy on a pastor, and you begin to pray and to ask God to do what he can for the people, and you want to make sure you do all of your part that you can to be a help to the people. And you know, many times it's not just something, as I've told different brothers, I wish many times I could look at a situation, just snap my fingers, and that would be that, but we don't have that ability, and it wouldn't be the perfect will of God. I'd say 9,999 times out of 10,000, it wouldn't be the will of God for it to happen that way anyhow, or he would do it that way. But many times people do have to go through things, and what we as pastor brothers or minister brothers, or it doesn't necessarily even have to be that, but just as the bride of Jesus Christ, what the Lord, I believe, places us on the scene to do sometimes is just to kind of be a guide to people to try to keep them balanced in whatever it is they're going through. We can't make them, you know, you got to do this or you should do that or you can't do that, but to be there kind of as a sounding board and an encouragement to try to just keep them guided on the wrong path. And sometimes all of us in our life, if we'll be honest, we may be on the right path, but we may be veering off here near to this ditch, or we might veer off here near to that ditch. And so sometimes it's good to have guardrails there to kind of keep you from going in the ditch, just to keep you guided on the right path. So I thank God that he's placed people like that in my life, and you know, I hope that I can be one of those type of people in your life, just to be there as a reminder to stay on the right path. But Moses here, he didn't have 200 or 2,000 or 20,000 like some of these mega churches have, but he had 2 million people that he was caring for, and the pressures and the burdens and sitting there daily, and even Jethro, his father-in-law, when he would come and talk to him, he said, "You take too much upon yourself." Now, as we looked at it before, Jethro could say that, and apparently he was in the exact mind of the Lord, because exactly what Jethro told him to do was to take 70 elders and anoint them. So apparently the Lord was anointing him, because now you read it that way in Exodus, but you come over in Numbers and it says the Lord spake unto Moses and said to do it this way. In Exodus it looks like his father-in-law told him to do it, but we find out it wasn't just his father-in-law, yet his father-in-law being in the right channel in the mind of God. Now Jethro could say that and be perfectly in the mind of God, and Dathan and Korah, we won't look at them this morning, but maybe in the next week or two, they could say the exact same thing and be completely anti-Christ and anti-scriptural and anti-word, and yet they were saying the exact same thing, Brother Trevor. You take too much upon you. saying the exact same thing, and one of them in the will of God and one of them out of the will of God. What was it? Their motives. Jethro was concerned about Moses and concerned about the people. Dathan and Korah were concerned about, hey, we want a little bit of the priesthood, and we can do what Aaron can do, and who are you to tell us what to do? Well, it wasn't really Moses that was telling them in the first place. God was speaking lip to ear to Moses, and Moses was telling the people. Moses, it wasn't a family deal where Moses said, hey, Aaron's close to me, and he's my brother, and so I'll make him the priest, and then Miriam, you know, she's been nice to me and raised me, and she protected me when I was in the basket. I'll make her a prophetess, and then I'll make some of the rest of Aaron's children the priests. It wasn't Moses that did the choosing. It was God that did the choosing. And yet, Korah, being of the Kohathites, a cousin of Moses, they had articles in the tabernacle that they would come, and they would carry the poles and the canvas and things like that. But when it came to the specific articles in the holiest of holies, only Aaron and his children could come and deal with that. Not because Moses picked it, but because God chose it that way. Yet they all had a part in it. It wasn't just Moses and Aaron doing it all. Each and every person in the journey had something to do, but God called specific men for specific purposes. And Jethro recognizes that, and he says, look, Moses, there's other anointed men that you can use to help bear the burden with the smaller matters. But Dathan and Korah look at it and they say, hey, we want to be somebody. Make us somebody. Saying the exact same thing, but two very different motives. And so God has Moses to do this. And God comes, and Brother Man said in one quote there in Taking Sides with Jesus, he said in 1962, he said, now God took of Moses' spirit and placed it on the 70, and the 70 could go out and operate, and he said it didn't weaken Moses a bit. So it wasn't that he took something away from Moses. He just took part of that same spirit and anointed them with it, which Brother Branham said, remember, if you listen to Revelation of Jesus Christ there that we just listened to a few weeks ago, Brother Branham said the lady stood up there in Louisiana and said, thus saith the Lord, within 3 weeks you'll hear the spirit of Moses and Christ, or Moses and Elijah speaking, and he said, which is the spirit of Christ. So Christ just took some of his spirit that was already on Moses and he places it on other men as helpers. Not to take Moses' place. Not to correct Moses and try to tell Moses what to do, but he raised them up to be a help to Moses, so the smaller matters and things, Moses didn't have to deal with 2 million people. Verse 24 of the same chapter. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them around about the tabernacle. Now this is the tabernacle in the wilderness. The temple of Solomon obviously wasn't built yet because this was hundreds and hundreds of years before Solomon. So they had a tabernacle of a canvas tent that they would pack with them, that they would put it up, and wherever the Holy Spirit stopped, wherever the pillar of fire stopped, they would stop and they would put it up there. They might be there 2 days or they might be there 2 years, but when the pillar of fire moved, the people moved with the pillar of fire. Oh, what kind of church could we be this morning if when the pillar of fire moved, whether it was popular, whether it was unpopular, whether it gave you a big name or a little name, no matter what anybody thought about it, if we could just keep moving with the pillar of fire. Amen. I thank God that he's still in our midst this morning. Amen. He promised wherever two or three was gathered together, he'd be in our midst. Saul, before his name was changed to Paul, he said, who are you, Lord? He said, I'm Jesus, who you persecuted. So he's still in the midst this morning. Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad and the name of the other, Medad. Now Eldad, if you go back and look up the name in the Hebrew lexicon, his name meant the love of God, and Medad's name just meant love. Amen. They were there. They didn't come up to the tabernacle with the rest of these men of the 70. 68 of them stayed right there at the tabernacle in the wilderness with Moses. But these other two men are standing not at the tabernacle, but in the camp. You know, I don't know why they did it. I don't think they were just trying to be stubborn or different. Maybe they felt the anointing of God so strong before they even got up there, they just had to stop and testify to somebody. I don't know what it was, but we'll find out they weren't out of the will of the Lord, but yet people with selfish motives would try to hinder them. There remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle. and they prophesied in the camp. Now, of the other 68 men, I don't know any of their names. The Bible doesn't say their names, but these two men, we hear their names. I wonder if it's just because they didn't just go with the flow and go with the trend, but they did what God led them to do. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. Oh, we got a lot of those type around the message too. Did you hear what Brother So-and-so said about you, Brother Furman? Did you hear Brother Jeremy what so-and-so's doing over here? Brother Branham said that one of the things, well, Brother Branham didn't just say it, but he did say it too. But Solomon said back in Proverbs that one of the things that God hates is those that sow discord amongst the brethren. Running here and running there. Did you hear what this brother did? Did you hear what that brother did? Sowers of discord. And they're going to run, they're going to tell on Eldad and Medad and try to get them in trouble with the prophet. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. Now I want you to notice this. That might stumble somebody because he called Moses Lord. But you notice when he says Lord to Moses, it's lowercase L, lowercase O, lowercase R, lowercase D. But when it comes over and it's talking about God, you'll find it's always uppercase L, uppercase O, uppercase R, uppercase D. Joshua, with good intentions. He's following this man. You know, it was a one-man message in that day, just like it was in this day. One man brought the message. And he sees this anointed man of God, and he sees, now this is something new that God is beginning to do in the camp. And now these other 70 anointed men, he sees these two men, they're prophesying, and they didn't get right up there with Moses and the rest of the 68 men. And so Joshua, not so much selfish for himself, but because he's so afraid of somebody taking away a little bit of something from Moses' ministry, he says, forbid him, Moses. Stop him from doing that. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Now, I don't think Joshua, Brother Bram said Joshua in type later on there when he took him across the river, that he was a type of the Holy Spirit. That Joshua ministry was a type of the Holy Spirit. But and Joshua here with good intentions, not purposely trying to be selfish for himself, but slightly out of the will of God because of his desire. He doesn't want to offend Moses. He doesn't want anybody to do anything that would hinder Moses. But it wasn't these men that were taking anything away from Moses. It was God that had taken the Spirit and placed upon it. They were not there trying to get a bigger name than Moses. And they were not there trying to take the people back to Egypt like David and Korah was. They were just doing what the very same spirit that was on Moses was anointing them to do. And a good, holy, righteous man comes to Moses and says, you better stop these guys. You better put a stop to their ministry because, you know, they're not standing right up here with you. Moses, thank God for a scriptural voice. He didn't say, now, you know what? You're right. If they keep prophesying like that, somebody might think that their gift is almost in comparison with mine. Yet Eldad and Medad's gift could never compare to Moses' gift. You don't have to get quiet. You can amen. Eldad and Medad's gift would no ways compare with Moses' gift, but yet it was a gift. And yet they were anointed of God. Amen. Thank God for men like that. Thank God for a scriptural voice to take these men back. To where it should be, to where Moses could stand there and say, Joshua, you don't have to envy for me. You don't have to be upset for me. I wish that everybody would be anointed with the same Spirit of God. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Let's go over into the New Testament. And a Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. Now, he hasn't come up to a spot where he's recognized baptism in Jesus' name yet, but he's recognized something took place on the cross and that Jesus was the Messiah, and he begins to teach this. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Now, here we have two groups of people. We have a man that's a new convert, yet he was mighty in the Scriptures. He knew the Old Testament maybe backwards and forwards, and so when he recognizes the ministry of Christ, he immediately goes out and begins to preach it in the synagogues, yet he hasn't come all the way up to water baptism and in Jesus' name and baptism in the Holy Ghost. And here, some helpers of Paul, Brother Branham called them Paul's helpers in the gospel, and so did Paul, Aquila and Priscilla, a little husband and wife that had a home church. Now, they didn't have a home church because they were stubborn and just wouldn't fellowship with anybody. They had a home church because they were there in Rome and there was no other local church to go to. Somebody said, oh my, thank God for a woman like Rahab that would just make her church a home. And they lean on that, and they just want to have services in their home. But you know what? I doubt there were many message churches in Jericho. But when Rahab came out of Jericho and was with them in the wilderness, we never hear any stories of Moses going up and the rest of them up into the tabernacle and the synagogue, or the tabernacle in the wilderness, and Rahab saying, I'm just going to stay over here in my tent and have home service. You can get quiet if you want, but I'm trying to tell you about a scriptural voice this morning. A scriptural voice. Amen. They asked Brother Branham in questions and answers in 1964. Brother Branham, are the tape services sufficient? And that's all the part we ever hear. But let's go back a sentence before that. They said, we have no preacher in our area. We have no preacher in our area. He said, look, they said, should we take our children over to some of these other churches? He said, don't join them. Don't join those other churches. But he said, there's a church over there, maybe a good Holy Ghost filled, you know, full gospel little church that maybe they disagree with two or three things on. He said, let them go and just see how your children does. Go by that. So, hey man, if I was in North Dakota and there wasn't no message church within miles of me, I'd probably have home services and pray that God would move me somewhere else. Amen. But here we are with four or five local message churches, and still you got some people that'll sit at home and criticize. Amen. Because they're the only ones that are right, and they can't find anybody to fellowship. God help us of our selfish spirits. Amen. Amen. Everybody don't have to come to Church of the Open Door. I don't really want everybody to come to Church of the Open Door, let's be honest. But everybody should go to church somewhere. Amen. If you don't believe that, go back and read one of those studies I just showed you on should a Christian go to church. And you'll see about 24 pages where Brother Bam tells them, don't stay at home. Go to church. Go somewhere to honor the resurrection. He told him one place there, he said, even he names them in one quote and another quote he doesn't, but he's talking about the Church of Christ. He said, there's only one thing that I can know that I agree with them doctrinally on, and that's that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, we can agree on that. He said, but if it was the only church I could go to, I'd go, and not with a bad spirit, I'd go and I'd amen that part. And he said, I'd try to let my life be a help to somebody else there. We've come a long ways away from that in the message, don't we? Well, this brother teaches one thing, and he gets on it about once a year, and I just don't like it, so I can't go over there. Selfish motives. Here, Aquila and Priscilla, a little house service, a little pastor and his wife, and this man so learned in the Scriptures, but yet he's humble enough to let this little humble housewife and little home pastor come and expound unto him a more perfect way in the gospel. Thank God for a man like this. Amen. That was not just satisfied where he was at. We'll look at it in a few weeks with the help of the Lord. Brother Bam said, don't end your doctrine with a period. End it with a comma. Yeah. Yes, I believe this and whatever more the Lord will unfold. Yeah. You say the Lord's not going to reveal anymore, Brother Nathan. Brother Bam said we have the perfect word of God with a perfect interpretation with vindication. Well, he's not going to reveal anymore. No, he's not going to reveal any more than what he's revealed, but he might reveal more to you or me that we haven't seen in there yet. I don't know about you, by the grace of God, I'm a lot further along this year than I was last year. Amen. Next year, if the Lord tarries, I want to be further along than I am this year. Amen. I'm not wanting to add to what the prophet said, but I want to add to my understanding of what he said. Amen. I want to know more about the word and be closer to Jesus next year than I am this year if he tarries. I want to end where I'm at right now with a comma and say, thank you, Lord, that I'm not back there where I was, but I want to keep going further in God. They expounded to him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brothers wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. He's not the messenger. He doesn't have the keys of the kingdom like Peter. And yet, here he's helped by a little pastor in a home church and his wife. And now he goes on. He doesn't just say, well, I've arrived. I'll hide out in my little tent over here and I'll pull myself away from everybody. He goes out exhorting and encouraging and helping others. Amen. I believe that shouldn't just be on the pastor or the deacons, but I believe every Christian that's born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, you ought to go out. And if you can't tell nothing but how it got lit, Brother Bram said, tell how the candle got lit. Amen. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. He was using a scriptural voice. He didn't have to go out and say, hey, we've got something new. Burn your scrolls. We don't need Nahum. We don't need Habakkuk. We don't need Moses. We don't need all this other stuff. He didn't have to take them to something new. He pointed them back to what the scripture said and said, this is what it says. This is what was promised. A scriptural voice won't try to do away with the old. It'll just keep pointing back to it as vindication that this is right. Amen. Brother Bram never came and said, burn your Bibles. He never came and said, ignore 62 to 47 back and just pay attention to 63 to 65. I know those spirits go around today that do that, but I want to take all that the Lord has for me. You realize as we look into this church age series that we've been on for a few months, and Brother Bannon begins to tell us that he would sit there and even in the seals as well, and he said he would read these other men. He would read Smith and he would read Larkin and he would read different ones back through, and he studied the works of Wesley and Luther and different ones, and he didn't get up and teach everything that they taught as doctrine, but there were things that those men, even in the dispensation and ages that they were in, not seeing the light that we do today, but there were things that those men had that were absolutely right, and it took a prophet of God to come and, as he called it, tie up the loose ends, to say in this age they had it right over here and in this age they had it right over here. And why? Because it was the time for the perfect word to be unfolded and restored back. I thank God for that. Amen. I thank God for that. So we don't throw away Luther and Wesley and all those men. Brother Bam said they had the Holy Ghost for their age. Amen. They had the portion of the truth for their age, but I want to walk in all the light that is given. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 11. Paul now, because of jealousy and things, he begins to pick up on this. This man named Apollos, now God begins to use him in a mighty way. Not the messenger, not the man with the keys of the kingdom, wasn't even one of the original 12 disciples. But here he comes along and God begins to use him. And so now all of a sudden in this very first church age, they were just a few years away from the death of Christ. And now in this very first church age, already, there wasn't a denomination yet, but little organisms and organizations and groups begin to spring up. And one said, I'm of Paul. He's the messenger. Another one said, well, bless God, I'm of Cephas, Peter. He's got the keys to the kingdom. Another one said, well, goodness gracious, I'm with Apollos. I came in under his ministry. I've never heard anybody preach it and explain the scriptures like I have Apollos. And they formed themselves little groups. Thank God for a scriptural voice that would speak out and tell the people the right way. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 11. The messenger of the age, this first church age, he begins to speak. And he's writing the Corinthians. And he said, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. That didn't die back there in the first church age. Sometimes that doesn't even die within an individual church. Well, I prefer this brother, and I prefer this singer, and I prefer this musician, and I prefer. What does the Lord prefer? Amen. I want what the Lord wants for each service, for each meeting. I want his perfect will to lead us and guide us. I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, and I of Christ. Little divisions that were causing contentions. And I thank God for a man with a scriptural voice that would stand up and cry out against it. Now in this age, sometimes it's not even I'm with brother so-and-so and I'm with this brother, but sometimes it breaks into doctrines. I'm of this group and I'm of this movement and I follow this doctrine and I believe this and I believe that. And that's how we label ourselves. But don't you realize, we'll read a quote here in a minute, but Brother Bannon said about a little Methodist lady when he went to pray for a woman that was dying in the hospital, and she said, pull down that curtain. He said, aren't you a Christian? She said, I'll have you to know I'm a Methodist. He said, well, I better pull it down then, because this what I'm getting ready to do might shock you to death. Wasn't just enough for her to say, I'm a Christian. Not just enough for us today to do that, or just to say, I'm a message believer. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was my Savior, and I'm not ashamed of Him or to follow His messenger, William Branham, and the message of this age. It's not enough just for us to stop there. We've got to divide it down a little bit more. Well, you know, what do you believe about this? And we get out our spreadsheet. Do you like this minister? Because if so, you're out. And do you follow this brother? Because if so, I ain't got time for you. How do you believe the serpent seed? And how do you believe the Godhead? And we have a list of qualifications before we'll fellowship with somebody. I'm so glad Jesus didn't do that when he came. I'm so glad Jesus didn't stop at the woman at the well and say, now, wait a minute. Now, you're not even a Jew. You're just a Samaritan. I can't fellowship with you. But it was the other way around. She was the one saying, we have no fellowship with you. But he let her know real quick that God was bigger than that. Amen. God was bigger than race or color or creed or doctrine or opinion. And he still is. He still is. He's bigger than Church of the Open Door. He's bigger of your pet doctrine. He's bigger than your favorite quote. He's bigger than your ideas and your mental conceptions. He covers the entire earth with his love and his mercy and his grace. You know, I don't believe no matter, I don't know that I have a greatest enemy or that I really have any enemies. I believe as Abraham Lincoln said, if I make my enemies my friend, don't I effectively destroy my enemies? So I hope I don't have any enemies. But if I do have any and I get there on that day and they're standing right there on the other side of the pearly gates, I'm not going to be so stubborn that I say, if they're there, I don't want to go in. I'm going to say, my God's grace was big enough for them. It was big enough for me. Neither one of us would have been here without his grace. Amen. Amen. If you've got somebody in your mind that you don't want to see there, maybe you should come to the altar at the end of the service. Or maybe don't wait till then. Maybe don't wait till then. Maybe just come right now. There's brothers around this message that I would say I can bitterly disagree with on things. I've sat right in my office downstairs and bitterly disagreed with brothers. But if I can't love that brother and pray for that brother, the prophet of God said, I'm the one that needs to be at the pulpit, at the altar. Amen. Love. Perfect love. Brother Raymond said, that's the only thing that's going to be over there. Amen. Perfect love, Brother Raymond. Amen. Perfect love. If I can't disagree with you and still love you, there's something selfish down on the inside of me. Now, I don't have to agree with you. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not some big doty, you know, fake thing that we're just going to agree with everybody and we're just going to, however anybody feels led to do. No, we're going to preach the word and stand for what's right. But if somebody bitterly disagrees with us, we ought to be able to put our arm around and say, I love you anyhow and I'm praying for you. And if you're wrong, I'm praying that God shows you. And then if I'm wrong, I'm praying that he shows me. Paul says, every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, and I have Apollos, and I have Cephas, and I have Christ. Is Christ divided? My, what a question. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He goes on to say he was thankful that he didn't baptize any, except just a few, because he didn't want people to think that he believed in baptizing in his name. Amen. And Brother Branham said, whatever started back there in the first church age, it was right all the way down through. So I don't baptize in Brother Branham's name. Amen. I baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the one that died for me. He's the one that saved me. But I thank God that he sent a prophet in this age. Or we'd also be wandering out around here in darkness. And maybe I'd have invited a little guest minister with little bobbed hair pushed up and about as short as mine. And maybe she'd be preaching for you and exhorting to you this morning if God hadn't sent a prophet to restore us back. Maybe I'd be baptizing you in titles or trying to teach you about an eternal sonship and things like that if it hadn't been for God sending a prophet in this age. Oh, my. You know, there's so much confusion and contention, and Satan doesn't care how he gets you. He just wants to get you. If he can't get you into false doctrine, he'll try to give you a bad attitude about somebody that is in false doctrine. And if he can't get you to run so far that you just throw away everything else and you think, well, we don't need nobody. We don't need song leaders. We don't need preachers. We don't need encouragers. We don't need anybody to give a testimony. We don't need to be a witness. And he pushes you so far that way that all you can see is the messenger. If he can't do that, then he'll make you so bitter about people like that that he'll start pulling you the other way away from the messenger. And say, well, I don't know if I really need to listen to tapes much anymore. And I really don't know. Brother Branham says this, but was that just a cultural thing in the 60s? Or was that just his opinion? Or you know, you better be careful. The cries of back to Egypt are ringing in your ears when you go to think down those thoughts. Oh, wouldn't Egypt have been better? Well, then go on back to your denominations if you want to. But I'm not going. Amen. I thank God for a message in this age that called us out of that. Brother Trevor keeps getting up and reminding us of the quote about not being a religion, a fear-based religion. I thank God that we're not following a fear-based religion. I don't follow this message because I'm afraid that of what somebody will think. You know, I've seen some of Avema message preachers and pastors wait till some of their relatives die before they'll come out and really expose what they are. Why? Because they know that mommy or daddy or granddaddy would be rolling over in their grave if they knew about it. But I'm not following this message because my daddy would be disappointed in me if I wasn't. I'm not following this message because I'm scared that I might go to hell if I don't. I'm following this message because every time I look into it, I see the Word of God being made manifested for this age. I see a prophet of God that pointed us back to the original truth. I see a prophet that extended love. People say it was a message of hate. Goodness gracious. And then they'll go and sit in a church where the pastor tells them, well, everybody that's not in our denomination is just lost. The prophet of God never said that. He said, I'll just say it. This is what he said. I can show you the quote after church if you'd like. I don't have it in my notes this morning. He said, if you're depending on the Methodist church to save you, you're lost. He said, if you're depending on the Baptist or the Catholic or the Branham Tabernacle to save you, you are lost. But he said, if you're depending on Jesus Christ and you're in any of those churches, then you're saved. Amen. Amen. I believe that this morning. Amen. Amen. I don't believe you can stay in a Methodist church and a Catholic church and a Baptist church and be bride, but I believe you can be saved because the prophet of God said so. I believe you can be saved because the Word of God said there'd be a group that Jesus would separate the sheep from the goats. Well, we know that that's not the bride because the bride's already been judged. Amen. So there'll be a group that they lived all the light that they saw and they will be saved. But you can't take a rapture unless you're under the message of your age. There were good men, no doubt. There was Demas and different ones in Paul's day that they had their messages and their ideas and things like that. But they absolutely could not be bride unless they remained under the message of that age. Amen. You say, I don't believe that, Brother Nathan. Well, go back and read your Bible a little harder. See how many that wasn't following Noah's message survived the flood. See how many that wasn't following Moses' message that came out of Egypt. And the majority of them, they died out in the wilderness because they couldn't really fully follow the message of the age. They wanted to have their own ideas and their own ways of doing it. Paul says, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Now he's talking to the first church age, but it sure sounds like he's talking to message churches this morning. Ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal? What is he trying to do? He's trying to take people away from a selfish spirit and a selfish motive and plant them firmly back under a scriptural voice. For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. He comes down into verse 21. And he says, therefore, let no man glory in men. We've lost this somewhere in the message. We've lost this somewhere. You say, oh, Brother Nathan, you better be careful. It's the word. I'm taking you back to a scriptural voice. Let no man glory in men. There's a lot that they'll glory in the prophet and say, oh my, you know, that's all we need. Then there's others that they won't do that, but they'll turn around and glory in their pastor. And oh, he's such a wonderful thing and there's nobody but him. And they'll take it to that extreme. And what is it? They're placing glory up on a man or a personality or a person. But all the glory and praise and honor belongs to Jesus Christ. I thank God for a prophet. I wouldn't want to go through what he went through for all the money in the world, to go through the tragedy and loss and the type of life that he lived growing up and things in a state of poor conditions and things and the nights, the sleepless nights that he spent standing in prayer lines and combating with demons in another dimension and the toil that it had to have taken on his body and the time that he had to spend away from his family. I wouldn't want to trade places with him for anything, but I thank God that he came. I thank God that God sent him. But all the praise that Brother Branham gets is just like any other man as far as that goes, that he was able to yield himself to what God had called him to do. Now, because God had called him to a higher office than me or Brother Layton or some of these brothers, he had to go through so much more and had to yield himself so much more. No doubt his body and his mind and things went through a lot more pressures and strains, and the whole church age resting on his shoulders and knowing this. I'd hate to sit under the pressures that he sat under. But yet what he did was he yielded to what God had called him to do. And I thank God for it. And he deserves credit for that. But as far as the miracles and the revealing of the word and all that, he was just a vessel that God used to do it through. It wasn't William Branham that broke the seals. It was the Lamb that came and broke the seals. Amen. It wasn't William Branham that healed the people. Don't get offended because I'm not saying Brother Branham. He's my brother and I call him that, but I'm just making a point. It wasn't him, the man, the flesh body that healed the sick and delivered the demon possessed and raised the dead. It was Jesus Christ working through a vessel. And the point that he was trying to get us through is that gift of the sign of the Son of Man was just for one person, but the ability to let the Holy Spirit work through you to what he's called you to is not just for one man in one age, but it's for everybody down to the housewife and the 5-year-old child. If they can get into a channel where God can use them, now they can't be used to do what he was called to do, because God didn't call me to do that. He didn't call me to be Billy Graham. He didn't call me to be Brother Layton. But if I can get in a channel where he can use me, then he'll do something through me. I know we're getting on Wednesday night series a little bit right now, but it's okay. It'll all balance out. Where he can use me, then I'll, you know, the only credit I get for that is to say, thank God for a man that could yield himself to what God had for him. I don't get credit for anything that he would do. No person that has been healed here that I prayed for, I can't take the credit for that. Jesus Christ already healed you. He just used my hands and my vocal cords to place my hands on you and perform what the word said, anoint you with oil and do all that. That I don't get any credit for that. So don't glory in men. Don't glory in your pastor and say, well, Brother Nathan's sure something, but all these other guys out here. No, don't get so narrow-minded that a lot of people's only one heartbeat away from being tape only. Maybe that's me. Maybe that confuses you. I'll explain it a little further what I mean. They have one guy, their pastor or their favorite evangelist or whatever it is, that they think that he's called, but that nobody else is. Don't let the church of the open door ever get to that spot. Or 2 heartbeats or 3 heartbeats or 4 or 5 or how many minister brothers we wind up having here. There's God is doing things outside of these walls. He's not contained to this. I thank God for what he's doing inside of these walls and for you in your home when you go home and for you on the streets and the job and different places when you go and witness. I thank God for that too. And I thank him for what he's doing in here. But he's not just limited to the members of the Church of the Open Door. He's doing a work all over the world. Amen. Amen. So don't you get this idea that you're just going to glory in your pastor or glory in some personality. Jesus Christ works all through all, anybody he wants to work through. Brother Bram said he can move on anybody, anytime he wants, any place he wants, anywhere he wants. Amen. You can throw those quotes out if you want, but I'll just keep them for me. I still believe them. Amen. Sirs, we would see Jesus, 1961. Now, he begins to talk about this experience he had. And he was going to pray for a lady that was sick, and she was actually dying in the hospital. And she had got backslid. She had been in the tabernacle, in the services there. Brother Branham had prayed for her years before, and she had got saved. And then he says in one quote, he tells this story many different times. He said in one quote, she had backslid. And then he said, of course, Jesus said that when a man's delivered, he said he walks in dry places, but then unless he keeps the house clean, 7 other worse demons come upon him. And he says, so that's what happened. And 7 other demons worse than what she had before come upon her. Now she's laying in the hospital, backslidden and dying. And a prophet of God goes by her bedside to pray for her. And he turns and he asks the lady in the bed beside her in the room, you know, 2 hospital beds in one room there. He said, do you mind if we have a word of prayer? And as sure as we would see Jesus in 1961, the lady, she said, pull that curtain. I said, well, I just ask if you mind if we pray. She said, we're Methodists. Pull that curtain. I said, then this would scare you to death. I better pull the curtain then. See, I said, if you're just a Methodist, you're not a Christian. Now notice he didn't say, if you're a Methodist, you're not a Christian. He said, if you're just a Methodist, you're not a Christian. So why do they say that? Some false disciple just took them that far. That's all they know. He says again, remembering the Lord, 1962, what was it? Pure, green-eyed poison, devil-possessed jealousy. God's only provided place of worship, 1965. See, because somebody that wasn't a Methodist was going to offer prayer for a woman, for a dying woman, which she was too, this other lady, the Methodist lady, dying too. But because it wasn't associated in her own organization, she didn't even want to hear it or have nothing to do with it. If that ain't a Pharisee, I never seen one. But yet many times, and we can look outwardly and see people that they're like that. They'll write you out if you don't belong to their church or go along with their doctrine or go along with their movement or whatever. And they don't think that your prayers can get through, and they don't think that you can do anything or that God can move or anything like that. We see that outwardly, but let's do like we did last week and look inwardly a little bit and make sure we don't do the same thing. And say, well, bless God, if they were here, why wouldn't they go to our church? And if they were this and if they were that, you better be careful that you don't get this same attitude and same spirit that this woman had, that we shut everything else out and everybody else out. And it's easy for us to look out and say, oh, they do that. I see that these people out here, they do that and they treat us like that. But turn the mirror around every once in a while. And make sure, can you say, well, I believe God can use that person's prayer, or that God can work in their church, or God can do this? Or do we get it so locked down that if we're not Church of the Open Door, we would say, pull that curtain. Well, praise the Lord. Jehovah Jireh, part 3, 1964. See, that's just how narrow. How could a person ever be? That's blackness and darkness, denominational difference, cutting them off from the blessings of God. You remember Brother Bam tells the story about the man that came running to Jesus? I think the Eamon family just sang the latter part of that story. But he came with an invitation to Simon's house for Jesus. And the disciples let him get all the way to Jesus. They didn't stop him at Peter, or some of them say, no, you can't talk to him. They let him get all the way to Jesus. And there he is standing there talking to Jesus. And all he wants to tell him about is his invitation to come to Simon's house. He had an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He could have asked him anything. He could have asked for prayer for his family. He could have, and he missed his opportunity. And here this woman laying dying in a hospital bed, a Methodist woman. Brother Branham said God healed that other woman that was backslid, that was laying there, that he prayed for. And here, the church age messenger for the age, a prophet of God with a ministry of healing all around the world. And she's just a curtain between them and him. And all he's got to do maybe is just ask God and the gift in his life be able to move on the scene. God will do a work for her. And she says, pull the curtain. How many times do we miss opportunities? Wonder how many times our young people suffer because of our stubbornness. Well, I won't fellowship with this brother, and I won't go over here and do this, and I won't attend this meeting and things. And maybe God using a man that maybe your child would have been at the altar giving their heart to God if you hadn't been so stubborn and so narrow-minded to recognize that, hey, God can use somebody else. Queen of Sheba, 1958, Brother Bam said, and today if God sends something and the church turns it down, how can we expect anything else but confusion? How can we expect anything else but denominations and barriers and setups and all kinds of impersonations and everything today? Because we turn it down. When God starts to do something in maybe a realm of people, the others will say, well, that isn't our denomination. Well, we'll just get our own man to do that. And you cause carnal impersonations, which is evil in the sight of God and takes away from the real thing. That's right. We've seen that around the message. We've seen that around. I've seen, not to pick on these brothers, but just because they're maybe a little more well-known than some other brothers, I've seen little Brother Donnie Reagans rise up all over the country where they'll hold their tie like him, and they'll hold the pulpit like him, and they'll walk like him and dance on one foot like him. Carnal impersonations. I've seen little Brother Tim Pruitts rise up and try to teach the way he does and act the way he does and talk the way he does. And carnal impersonations of different people. Different brothers around the world, different things, different brothers impersonating one another, trying to be somebody, something else that they're not. Brother Bam was talking about it back in Pentecost, but it creeps right in here. Amen. Right in around the message. Brother Bam goes on in this quote, and because it's lengthy, I'm skipping over part of it, but he's talking about little David Walker. And he said he was a little 9 or 10 year old boy, and he said he'd take out there and take off his coat and he'd preach. He said, I'd heard other little boy preachers come out and say, Jesus died on the cross. What was that again, mommy? And turn around and ask their mommy. But he said, this boy didn't do that. He took off his coat and took a text and preached. And he said it was a real true calling of God. And he said he set the men down, some of the denominations, and said, denominational brothers, he said, if you'd get behind that boy and sponsor him, he would lead millions of little children to Jesus Christ. And he says in the Queen of Sheba, 1958, one of them said, well, he belongs to the certain group. I said, what difference does it make where his father belongs? He's the gift that God has sent to the church. His daddy was Church of God or something like that. And they said, well, because he's of this church, our group won't support him. And he said, he's the gift that God sent to the church. God was trying to do something for the young people in this generation. But because it wasn't their way of doing it or under their title or their name or their group or their denomination, they snuffed it out. He said, I said, if you brethren would tear down your little different ideas and get around that little boy, not let him get puffed up, but send him, he'd win thousands of little children to the Lord, little boys and girls. But what was it? Everybody got him a little David. Everywhere you went, the little fella went to Miami and got in trouble. I went down to help him. And the whole two pages, he's talking about the newspaper, the whole two pages was full of little Davids. Jealousy. It shows that it's carnal and not of God. Any church that'll do a trick like that is not of God. It can't be. And there's where we are today. They won't believe anything, but they try to impersonate it. Oh, this group over here is doing that. Their choir sang this song, so let's do it and we'll do it better. And this group over here, they've got a special singer. Instead of us inviting him, let's get one to do it like he does, but better. And their preacher does it this way, so we're going to get a preacher that does it better. And they did this and they did that. What carnal impersonations, copying off of one another. Gifts, 1956. He says, and the so-called churchgoer will stand off on a side, and because of personal praises of men or dignity of man-made, self-made things that they have, they'll criticize the Holy Spirit and the workings of the Holy Ghost and call it fanaticism and try to oust it out. And the very words before the Congress today is to stop such meetings as this. Here's the only thing I can say about it, and I say it as a servant of God. I say this, that it's nothing in the world but unadulterated jealousy. Trying to outdo one another. We got to do this. Somebody had a brother, so we got to invite him, and we got to have a bigger meeting. We got to do this. Or they invited this brother, but we don't like him, but we'll find one like him. And we got to do this to hold our people and hold our young people and do this and do that. Oh, my. Jealousy. Instead of using the gifts that God sends, we let a little jealous spirit creep in and say, oh, my, if they do that, we've got to do it and do it better and bigger and do all this. God help us. God help us. That was what caused so much confusion in the divine healing movement. And when the revivals, the early revival age, you had some men there that were really absolutely truly gifted, like Brother Branham and Brother Oral Roberts and Brother Jack Cohen, things that they really had gifts in the move of God in their life. But what followed behind it? A bunch of carnal impersonations of men saying they were biting demons and smelling demons and all kinds of just carnal garbage. And impersonating the real thing. And it didn't degrade those other men's ministry. Their ministry was still the same, but in the eyes of the people, it degraded divine healing because they saw so much fanaticism that went around it. I wonder if we've done the same thing in the message. We've got so many crazy people pushing so many crazy things, and then somebody goes to search Brother Branham on Google and they get all this other crazy stuff. Questions and Answers, 1959. Now this is, I told you about Moses and how he handled these other group of anointed men that were around him. Even when Joshua was saying, set them down, he said, no, don't envy for me. I wish that all God's people were prophets and could prophesy and all these things. Then we saw Paul, the messenger of the age, that when other anointed men begin to rise up, he didn't say, hey, quench that out. Stop that over there, Apollos. You sit down, and Cephas, yeah, I know you got the keys, but you've done your part, and you sit down. I'm going to take it from here. But we saw a man that didn't have a jealous spirit and didn't have a selfish motive, but he told him that Christ isn't divided and that God was using all these men. And now let's bring it down to this age and see what the prophet for our age said in Questions and Answers 1959. He said, I was hearing Brother Smith, my friend, pray just a few moments ago, the pastor of the Church of God, Anderson. This guy isn't following the message, not in the way that we would. Now, he apparently appreciated and respected Brother Branham because he's there at the tabernacle in 1959. And they didn't let him sit in a corner. They actually had him come up and pray. And Brother Branham gets up and said, I hear Brother Smith, my friend, pray just a few moments ago, the pastor of the Church of God, Anderson. And Brother Smith has a little tract. I don't guess we give them out here at the tabernacle. If any of you haven't got that little tract, you read it. Church of God tract. You read it. That's an astounding little tract. It's absolutely the scriptural truth. Now, you think he was just being nice? You think he'd just say that to be nice, or did he believe it? And I've taken many of them to Chicago and different places to distribute them because they are really a truthful, wonderful tract. And I know they were wrote from a heart that's loyal and loves God. No selfish motive behind Brother Smith, just all Christian. So we are happy to be associated tonight with people of that caliber. This is how he talked about a church of God, man. A lot of us can't even talk about another message believer that way. Well, they go over to this other church, and I'm not really sure what they think or where they stand or how they feel about so-and-so or how they feel about this certain doctrine. So you better be careful when you get around them. I don't hear Brother Bram talking about like that about denominational brothers. And here he is. He's got a little tract that Brother Bram thinks would help people. And he doesn't say, well, he's not of us. He's not of our little group and our little movement and our little this and our little that. He sees that it's something that's going to help the people of God. And instead of having a selfish, jealous motive to say, don't, hey, Brother Layton, when Brother Smith comes, don't you mention nothing to his tract, okay, over the pulpit. And Brother Hoover, when you pray, don't you thank God for Brother Smith, because we just don't want the people to be deceived. He gets up and he encourages the people. This is a good brother. This is my friend. Get one of his tracts and read it if you haven't. God help us. Somewhere along the way between 1959 and here, we've lost this somewhere. You just heard this one while I was gone on vacation recently. Brother Hoover played it for you. I had him introduce it because I wanted him to tell you the background of the story about how Brother Branham talks on this tape where he had baptized Brother Hoover's dad that morning. And in Witnesses 1953, Brother Branham, he's talking about a brother, Tom Meredith, that was there and had preached a revival at the Tabernacle, him and another couple brothers. And now Brother Branham, kind of at the end of the revival, he's coming in, he's heard some of the services, and he's preaching now. And he asked him at the beginning how many enjoyed the revival with Brother Tom's and all that. And he says, Brother Meredith, had you announced to the people where your broadcast come in and everything? Brother Meredith says, no, Brother Branham. Well, would you come here and do that right now? Brother Meredith will announce his, and Brother Tom Meredith steps to the microphone and announces his daily radio program on WTCO AM 1150. He says, thank you, Brother Tom. And is there anyone else got a revival that wants to announce it? Or any special, any of the ministers? And we're always happy to recognize our brother and their services. So when I put bulletins downstairs on the bulletin board of different meetings going on around the world, when brothers send them to me, different things, different services, announcements, even if they fall on the same dates as our meetings and things, and I hang them up there, don't walk by the bulletin board and say, why would he put that brother up there? I don't even agree. I don't even like that brother. Why would he put his bulletin about his meetings up there? Because we're always happy to recognize our brethren and their services. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Glorified Jesus, 1955. He says, and now I've seen some meetings over the city. I found out that I've seen many signs out revivals. If you'll just lay your little ticket up where you're having a revival, we'd be glad to announce it. A scriptural voice, not a selfish motive. Not a jealous spirit. See, I'm so thankful we followed a prophet of God that was secure enough that he could stand there and know what God called him to do. And he wasn't jealous of Oral Roberts or Billy Graham or Jack Cole or any of these men. He would sit there and walk through some of their buildings and things and look at the great granite marble walls and things and their IBM machines and all that. He said if they came to mind, what would they say? A little typewriter at the end of a trailer. And I'm sure the devil got on his back sometimes and tried to fight him over that, but he didn't get up and blast those brothers and things. In fact, many times he'd take up for him. He said, Oral Roberts, it took so many thousands of dollars a day to operate and things like that. He said, he can't go to some of these little churches that I can go to and things like that. Taking up for the brothers. Speaking good of the brothers. That didn't mean he agreed with them on everything, but he didn't get up and run them down. Oh my, why? He knew what God had called him to do, and he was doing his part. And if somebody else could help somebody, then he was for it. Amen. God help us that we don't get in a condition to where we think that the movement of God only revolves around us. And if it doesn't come through us or our way of doing it, that we just say, well, no, God's still using other people. And if somebody can be a help to you, if somebody can sing a song, maybe I don't even like the song. Maybe I don't like the style. Maybe I don't like their vocals. Maybe I don't like the music, whatever it is. If it helps you, praise the Lord. What did Brother Bram say last week? He said to the chiropractor and the doctor and the surgeon and all them go back and forth and say, you don't need this guy, you don't need that guy. But he said, if we could all work together, and he said, anything. He said, if drinking water helps somebody, he said, I'm all for it. Amen. You can look around and see some of us need to drink more water probably, but anything that was going to help somebody, he was all for it. He was all for it. Why? Because it wasn't a jealous motive. It was a scriptural voice. He could stand there and my other ministers sitting on the platform behind him recognize him. He could stand there and other brothers having meetings in the same city, Brother Layton. And he would announce and say, Brother so-and-so is having a revival over here. And we didn't know he'd schedule it out a year in advance. And if you get a chance, go over there. knowing that if those people left, it would take away from his revival maybe. But a scriptural voice with no selfish motive, no selfish agenda. Me and Brother Trevor and Brother Stephen had a little email going back and forth about an article one of the brothers, I think it was Brother Trevor, had read and shared with us. And we got to talking about this scripture, Matthew 24, verse 12. It says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That was a prophecy. You go back and read Matthew 24, a lot of it's about the end time. Some of it's there when Nero came in and invaded and destroyed Jerusalem and all that. But a lot of it's about the end time. And he's talking now about how the love of many in this end time would wax cold. And we can look around and see, you hear people talk about one another and talk about believers at other churches and things, and you can just hear it in their voice. The love of many shall wax cold. Amen. I don't want to get to a spot to where just because somebody doesn't see it like me or doesn't attend church with open door, whatever it is, that I draw a circle and draw them out. No, help us even when they do draw a circle, whoever it would be, and draw us out. May we draw a bigger circle and say, well, I'm going to love you. I'm going to pray you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to fellowship with you. I'm going to try to do anything I can for you. Don't ever get to the spot where you're driving down the road and you see some poor old brother that you disagree with on the side with a flat, and you drive by and honk and wave and you think, oh my, yeah, he deserved that. He sure deserved it if anybody did. No, stop and help the brother. Stop and help him. You say, oh, but he said terrible things about me. He said terrible things about this brother, that brother. Stop and help him. Maybe you can make an impact on him. Anything that'll help somebody, I'm all for it. You know, we hear testimonies and things come forth from different revivals and different meetings and different groups and different churches and things. How could I be selfish enough to say, well, that wasn't God? Well, if somebody got healed, I'd imagine it was God. Amen. You know, and God many times can look past our ignorance and our selfishness, and he can still work and heal people and do things. Amen. So if God's moving somewhere, we should be so careful about how that we speak about it and how we act about it and things like that. I want the attitude that the prophet of God back in Moses' day and in Paul's day and in our day, the attitude that they projected to the people, not a selfish spirit, but hey, Christ isn't divided. People get divided. Churches get divided. Groups get divided. Denominations and organizations and opinions get divided, but Christ is not divided. What did the song say? We are not divided. All one body we, it's hard for us to sing that and be sincere anymore, isn't it? But that's how it should be. Brother Bram said, I'm trying to close, musicians, if you'd come. Brother Bram said there, in one place, he said those men would come to him. He said, as a young man, having a church there, he'd say, how do you get those people to stay so in love with one another? He said, I didn't do nothing. It was Jesus Christ. They got a good taste, a good dose of Jesus Christ. He said they'd sit there and wring their hands and cry when they had to leave church because they knew it'd be a few days before they came back together again. My, how far we've come. I feel like I can brag on you this morning and say I get compliments all the time from people locally and from around the world that come in and visit this area and come and visit our church that say the group there has so much love and express so much love to me. I can brag on you about that, but I don't know. I'll be honest with you. I haven't stood around, wrung my hands, and cried because I wasn't going to see some of you for 3 or 4 days. Maybe I have a right to do that, and maybe I don't, but I'm saying we've come a ways from where they was back then. That love. The love of many shall wax cold. That love. In David's days, somebody would die. Saul died. And him and his men mourned for weeks. They'd been hiding out in caves for years from this man. But they knew he was anointed of God. And they mourned for days for this man. Now somebody dies and we walk by the casket real quick because we got to get to Burger King somewhere. Pay our respects. When Brother Donnie came and preached for us a few years ago, I was showing him a place where there's a church up here on Charlestown Road. It's got a big sign that says drive-through prayers. And you can drive through and they'll pray for you. He said, that ain't nothing. When he was in New York visiting Brother Robert Marrero, he said there was a funeral home, drive-through visitation. And they had the casket propped up at a 45. And you could drive through and do visitation. I thought, that's too busy. We're too busy when we got to drive by and pay our respects. He looked so natural as you drive by. Somebody honking behind you. I'm in a hurry. Move that thing along faster. This is the age that we live in. The love of many is wax cold. God help us. I don't know about you. I want more love in my life. Amen. It's easy for me to love my wife and my children. It's easy for me to love most of my family most of the time. But there's some people it's harder. I mean, we can say that we pray for them and things, but to really love somebody, to really be concerned about somebody, there sometimes it takes a conscious effort. Lord, don't let me get the wrong opinion of this brother. And I know people are popping into your minds, and I don't mean to do that this morning, but some people that, you know, they stir up contention. They go around and cause trouble and things like that. And in your heart, it's hard. Sometimes you got to kneel down and just pray real through and die out to some of your own stuff so you can say, Lord, I'm sorry I got so upset about that brother. I love him, and I want to see him over there, even though I disagree with him and the way he treats people or whatever it would be. You know, every city, it seems like Jeffersonville maybe just has more than others, but every city has troublemakers in it, even message believers and Christians and things, just people that like to pick at things and cause trouble and sow discord and things like that. But you know what? We still need to love those people. Amen. Brother Bram said some people, you see them coming, you just hate to be around them because of the atmosphere. And amen, I can say amen to that about a few people, you know, that I'm not proud of it, but I can say amen to that, that there's some people that you just think, oh my, they're going to have something negative to say. They're going to say something nasty or critical or whatever it is. But if I can't love that person and pray for them, then there's something wrong in me. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for a scriptural voice in this age that pointed us back to that perfect love that we should have. Lord, no matter how right we are in our doctrines, Brother Branham said he'd rather be right in his heart and wrong in his doctrine than the other way around. Seems like we get the focus so off in this age that we want to be so right and prove that we're right to everybody that we forget about love. We want to figure it all out and prove it all and tell everybody we know so much about so much. But Lord, where is that love? Lord, as it begin to wax cold even among the believers in this age, to a point where we can't fellowship with one another, we can't say a brother's name over the pulpit or just to reference a story without somebody getting hurt or offended, or we can't put an advertisement of a meeting somewhere in another city or another country without somebody getting offended. Oh God, help us. How far have we come from what the prophet was talking about there in these quotes? Lord, we need more of you in our life. We need more of you in our hearts, Lord. Lord, to project that type of love that we've read about this morning. Lord, help us to recognize if we don't, then there's something wrong somewhere, a selfish motive or a jealousy or something down in us preventing us from being what we really should be and act the way that we should and treat people the way that we should. I recognize, Lord, as all of us do, that we're never going to agree with everybody, but Lord, we better be able to love everybody. Brother Branham said he could disagree with his bitterest enemies, sit there and bitterly disagree and still love them. Bitterly disagree and still love them. Oh, Lord Jesus, help us. How my mind goes back to the testimony that Brother Billy Paul tells so many times about his daddy, how that even him, as close as he was, and standing there with him in the prayer lines, and many brothers that did him wrong and things, but he said you could never tell his friends from his enemies because he treated them all the same. Oh, help us, Lord. Lord, somebody could probably ride in the car with me for a few hours and tell the people that rubbed me the wrong way. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. When you were here, the disciples didn't even know which one was going to betray you because you had treated Judas so much like the rest of them, yet knowing that he would betray you. Help us, Jesus. Help us to display that love of Christ. I feel like even with our best intentions and our best efforts that we've missed the mark so many times on that. Give us more of you, I pray, Lord Jesus. Take away the bitterness of the past and scars and things like that hold us back from extending love to people because, well, they hurt us before. They did this or they did that. Lord, help us not to have a selfish motive. Help us not to be jealous of another church or another ministry or some other person, some other singer, some other musician, whatever it would be. Lord, take it all out of us this morning to where all that the people can see is Christ being projected. We love you, Lord. Come on the scene this morning. Change lives, change families, change hearts, Lord, to be more like you. May we go out of here with more love in our heart to treat one another, not only here at the church, although we certainly need to do that as well, Lord, to treat one another here better, but also people at other churches. people on our jobs, people at our schools. Lord, help us to project love. Your prophet said that when divine love is projected, that sovereign grace comes in. Lord, help that to be our testimony, that we projected divine love to humanity. Not just our wife and our children, all of humanity, Lord, may we project divine love. We fall short so many times, Lord, but we ask, Lord, we come humbly this morning asking you to help us. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Oh, I give myself away. Lord, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
I give myself to you. Oh, yes, my
that your desire this morning? Amen. Amen. Let's sing this together this morning. Oh, to prepare a mansion, Jesus said, I go. Well, if it were not true, I would have told you so. There's just a little while to linger here below. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, I'm getting ready for the gates of birth. Oh, I'm keeping my record right, watching both day and night. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. I'm laying up my treasures in that home above. I'm trusting, fully trusting in my Savior's love. Well, I'm doing what I can for heaven's holy dove. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Well, the bride's getting ready to leave this world. Oh, I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Oh, I'm keeping my record right, watching both day and night. Oh, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Well, to prepare a mansion, Jesus said, I go. Oh, if it were not true, I would have told you so. Just a little while, we'll linger here to be alone. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, yes, I'm getting ready to leave this world. Well, I'm getting ready for the gates of pearl. Lord, I'm keeping my record right, watching both day and night. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Oh, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. Well, I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. Oh, yes, I'm going home with Jesus. Well, I've made my reservations for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. Oh, the captain of my vessel, he's a calling, get on board. My destination's heaven, safe on that crystal shore. We'll meet our splendid Savior and our loved ones gone before. To live all eternity, thank God I'm going home. Oh, yes, I'm going home to Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for my mansion in the sky. Well, I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. Well, I'm listening for the trumpet to sound most any time. That crown of life that's waiting, thank God it'll soon be mine. Well, I got my invitation at a place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus, that debt's been paid for me. So I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. Oh, I've made my reservation for my mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. Oh, I'm Amen. You looking forward to it?
Amen.
Had this song on my heart this week, and Brother Furman hasn't sang it in a while, so I'm going to do what he does to me. And when he wants me to sing a song, he just starts it and turns it to me. So, I am my beloved's, and he is mine. His banner over me is love.
His banner over me, His love. Let's sing it this way. Oh, He brought me to His banqueting table. His banner over me is love. Brought me to His banqueting table.
Terry, would you come and dismiss us in prayer, brother?
Message, but Lord, you sent a man once to me, a Pentecostal minister. It's his first tape I ever heard, Lord. I thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, I hope to meet him over there on the other side one someday, and I believe I will see him, Lord, over there. My Lord, I just pray you'll just help us and draw us all closer to thee. And just help us, Lord, tonight as we go into the full communion of food. Just all bring us back at the appointed time. We love you, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and ask. Amen.
God bless you, saints. Let's sing it as we go.
And now I am a new creation. His banner over me is love. His love. He placed my feet on a firm foundation. His banner over me is love. He placed my feet on a firm foundation. His banner over me is love. He placed my feet on a firm foundation. His banner over me is love. Oh, His banner over me is love. And there's therefore now no condemnation. His banner over me is love. There's therefore now no condemnation. His banner over me. His love. Yes, Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. Oh, Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. Jesus is the rock of my salvation. His banner over me is love. His is love. He's gone to prepare a place for me. His banner over me is love. He's gone to prepare a place for me. His banner over me is love. He is gone to prepare a place for me. His banner over me is love. Oh, His banner is love. He gave me peace through the power of the cross. His banner over me is love. He gave me peace through the power of the cross. His banner over me is love. He gave me peace through the power of the cross. His banner over me is love. Oh, His banner over me is love. And He brought me to His banqueting table. His banner over me is love. He brought me to His banqueting table.